Up. Amen. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. We appreciate Brother Shane helping us out here tonight. It does you good to hear another voice occasionally. Amen. I don't want to ever weary you. Amen. Just me. Well, aren't you glad God is... We have other ministers in the church. Amen. I appreciate Brother Glenn. Appreciate Brother Shane, Brother Adam. I know that, Lord, got Brother Shane, Brother Adam's come to us. Brother Glenn's been here for a few years. Amen. And I'm not going to say I appreciate myself, but I'm glad to be here. Amen. So it is good to be a part of the ministry, and I think we should utilize and use all the ministries here in the church. The Lord's dealt my heart even on that here recently. Amen. I want to hear from these men preaching more. I think that's important. Amen. It does you good, too. Brother Irvin, I was raised in a church where there were seven ministers, not all of them were young, but seven preachers. And could you imagine trying to filter all that through and give everybody opportunity to preach? Amen. About once a week we'd hear another voice. And Brother Irvin had an old saying. He would say, he used to live near a train track. Situation or story he gave me, I guess he would tell us. He said, if you ain't careful, he said, the first time you live near a train track, he said, you hear that train and it's almost like jet noise around here. Amen. When I first got here, I said, that is the loudest noise I've ever heard in my life. And be honest with you, I mean, unless it's real loud, I don't really pay attention to it no more, But my mom, not just recently, she said, man, she said, that drive me crazy. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you get used to it. Amen. But, in reality, and as being humans, it's good to hear other things, other people. And, there's all giftings. No ministry is the same, is it? Amen. It's amazing. We don't preach the same. And I'm glad it's not that way. It'd be a very boring world in the church if everybody was the same. But I'm glad that those God has given us teachers and preachers and ministers. And I don't know if I'd label any of us prophets or apostles, but who knows? We could be. Amen. I don't think we self-label, but God does use us in gifts. And I appreciate everybody in the church. I do. And what you add to the church tonight. Amen. God bless you. We're moving into the Christmas season. And I was so tempted to start preaching Christmas messages, but I'm going to hold off. Amen. Because when I start, I just love preaching them. I almost probably overdid it last year. About every Sunday for about 1 month, I was just laying into your Christmas sermons. And, we are going to hear from some of these other ministers, get some Christmas thoughts together. And I just appreciate this time of year, appreciate the church. And it's about to get very busy. It is here at the church, a lot of dates and times and appointments. But let's just keep our mind on the Lord and the whole process. Amen. Tonight, we're going to have a little bit of a different service. At the end of the service tonight, we're going to be accepting Brother Adam Chappell into the church as a member. Do appreciate him being with us. God has sent him our way. That'll be at the end of the service. Amen. I hate everybody's not here and can't be here, but you got to kind of make things work sometimes with everybody's schedule. And we're glad Brother Adam's going to be with us tonight for that. And I do appreciate God sending our way. But before we do that tonight, I do want to talk to you about what it is to be a part of a church. And this is very pastoral type preaching, but what it is to be a part of a church and how important that is. That local church is important. I will tell you that. Amen. We can't put enough emphasis. I will tell you, it's a little different for me when coming into this area because there's so many churches. Amen. And where I'm from, there's so many churches as well. But our church has been unique to where, I mean, for me anyhow, I can't speak before I was here. But, we have a variety of people that end up coming through those doors. Amen. It's different than when you're living in Tyner, North Carolina. The traffic ain't quite as much. Amen. But I've had a lot of experiences here. People have came. Some people I've seen come sit half a service and leave. Some come and stay with us 2 weeks and leave. Some come and stay 1 year and leave. Seen it all. Amen. Since we've been here. But it is very important for you to be a part of the church. Amen. And what I mean by that is, and we're going to talk about that, what it is to be a part of a local church and how important that is. But like I said, it's a little different nowadays in the Western world. World where there's so many different, if you don't mind me putting it this way, church flavors. Amen. The city of Hampton, Newport News here, there's about every flavor of church you can imagine. Amen. And I said it, I think, in Sunday school this morning, if there's something that you don't agree with, with the preacher or with the doctrine of a church, you most likely can find a church in this area that would agree with you on something somewhere. You can go to the Christian bookstore. I often have said this. If there's something that you really want to believe, even if it's wrong, somebody's wrote a book about it already and is going to say, look, they got a 400-page book that's going to let you know it's all right to do this. And you'll read that and you can become deceived. But it's important not only to be a part of a church, but to be a part of a church of truth, amen, of biblical truth. I don't believe, as I've often, I don't believe it's my four no more that's going to heaven. I know there's probably other churches, other good Christians, maybe in the city. I don't know of any other holiness churches. I guess you could say they may exist, but I'm not the ultimate judge. I don't know every church, amen. Every now and then I'll see a lady somewhere in a store around here, and I'm like, sister, I wonder if she's a holiness sister or not. And sometimes I've even got brave enough to ask, and I say, I know they're Jesus only. And I'll go up to women. Hey, where are you from? I go to the United. I'm like, okay, well, you have a good day too. I said, I'm Pentecostal as well, and don't say anything mean to them. But you know, I'm waiting one of these days to find a good Trinitarian Holiness Church somewhere on this side of the water that we can say, look, you know, we believe the same thing. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we are a local Holiness Church. And I think it's important for people to know that, to know what that means. And I've been praying about even possibly getting on the radio sometimes. And because you'd be surprised, I mean, military families are looking for a traditional Holiness Church. Amen. They're in the military that do not know that we exist. So I want to look at this today, talking about the importance of being part of church, joining a church, being a part of it at least coming to one and being faithful to it in that circumstance. We know in the day which we live in, we know that the hour in which we live, in a day when commitment is rare. Some people today could care less about committing to anything. It's hard to find people, men and women, who are willing to commit to a church. You hear that? That are willing to commit to a church. What does it mean to commit yourself to a church? That means to be faithful to that church. That means to agree with that church. That means that every jot and tittle you agree with everything. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard to find somebody agree with every detail. But we do know this. It is important to look at that church and say, look, that's something I want to be a part of. And we understand today it should come as no surprise to us that church membership is such a low priority in the day that we live in. It is very uncommon among people today to join and be faithful to a church. That's just the day in which we live in. There's very little commitment to it. There's very little emphasis that is put upon that. But today what we're going to look at, I want to define what church membership means. Now, when I say define what church membership means, of course, every church is going to have different qualification of what it is to be a member of that church. But what does it mean to be a church member, to be a part of a church? And we understand when an individual is saved, he or she instantly becomes a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I think we all agree today, when you get born again, you instantly become a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes you a member of a local assembly, but you become a member of the body of Christ, which is a very broad term, which means now I am saved. Now Christ is my Savior. Now I am going to heaven. That is what that means. You become a member of the body of Christ because we are united to Christ and other members in the body in this way. Guess what? When we talk about the body of Christ, that's a lot of people. Amen. I mean, that's a lot of folks. There's people all over this world that are a part of the body of Christ. Amen. There's different colors, different ethnicities, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different denominations. I don't believe Pentecostalism. I do believe it's the truth. Amen. I believe that. But there have been men and women who've been born underneath other denominations, who heard the truth, who put their faith in Jesus, and do not know. I believe we know the full extent of the truth, and we can experience that truth. But I believe there's been some good Baptist people that went to heaven, that's lived good lives, and other ones. Yeah, how many believes there's been some Methodists that went to heaven? Don't you tell me John Wesley ain't there now. We're going to argue about that. Don't tell me Jonathan Edwards didn't make it to heaven. Don't tell me a man like Charles Spurgeon. Don't keep him out of the kingdom. Now, we may disagree with some things with the men about doctrine. Amen. But I believe that Pentecost is truth and real. And this is what I lead people to. The fullness of the Spirit. So we notice that today. When you are born again, you become a member of the body of Christ. But to become a member of a church is to formally commit oneself to be identifiable to a local body of believers and somebody who is joined together with specific and divinely ordained purposes. That means when there's a local church, look, I when you find that local church, you know you're saved, and say, look, I realize something about that church. They are preaching and teaching truth. There's something about them. God is using them. God has favored them. God has blessed them. And there, when you become a part of a local assembly, it's when you join together in that very specific and divinely ordained purposes. Now, these purposes include receiving instruction from God's Word. That is one thing about Abundant Life Tabernacle. When you come here, as one of the earmarks of our church, you are going to receive the Word of God. I am going to preach to you before you leave here. Now, I know there's certain services where God's going to move, and we may not have preaching that service, but most of the times, unless God will not let me speak at all, I'm going to exhort, I'm going to say something. Amen. This is a place to receive God's Word. Also, this is a place of serving and edifying one another through the proper use of spiritual gifts. I believe in the spiritual gifts of the church. I believe that the gifts, the fivefold ministry of the church. I also believe in the gifts of the Spirit. This is a place, not only are you going to receive God's Word, but this is a place that the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of ministry should be, and it will be in operation in our midst. We also understand that participating in the ordinances of that church. We believe here in baptism in water. We believe that. We believe here in communion and taking part in communion. And we're due for one right now, actually. The Lord's been dealing my heart on it. I'm glad I just reminded myself. But anyhow, we're due for water. We do believe in water baptism. We do believe in communion. We do believe in these ordinances, and we expect you to believe in that as well. Amen. Now, Brother Adam, I ain't just gearing at you tonight. I hope you don't get this. This is just talk to everybody. Amen. So it's important that we understand this. Now, you come to me and say, Brother Derek, I believe in infant baptism. I'm going to say, well, we need to talk. Anybody know what infant baptism is? You know, you baptize a child before he ever has any profession of faith or anything. Just put him in that water. Amen. We can talk about that. I don't believe there's been people years ago. That was a very prominent doctrine in the church where people believed in infant baptism. I would say, no, let me give you the order that John the Baptist and Jesus gave us. We believe in water baptism. We believe in the ordinances that God has left us. We also believe in proclaiming the gospel to those who are lost. And once again, that is one neglected thing in most churches. We once again need to put an emphasis on that for all the members to be evangelists in our community. Amen. We need to put more emphasis on that, don't we? The Lord deals with me personally on this. I love seeing your face, and I hope you love seeing mine. But I like seeing new faces. Amen. Don't you desire for somebody lost to come through that door? And not just once a year? Come on. Not just twice a year that somebody come and get saved. It should be the mission. When we become members of church, when you join yourself to Abundant Life Tabernacle, and Lord will help me as a pastor put emphasis on this, that we understand we are a missionary church. Not only overseas, that is good, we're a big part of that, but domestic missions is important as well, and we need to be involved in that. So in addition to all these things, when one becomes a member of a local church, he submits himself or she submits herself to the care and the authority of the biblically qualified elders that God has placed in that assembly. That is what becoming part of a church is. And we're going to go over that a little more here in just a few moments. But the basis for church membership is basically this. When we talk about what is the basis for church membership, and once again, that is going to vary from church to church. I preach in a lot of holiness churches. There's some churches whose bylaws that some of you in this room wouldn't be able to join that church. I wouldn't be able to join that church. Amen. Not saying you ain't saved, but they have extremely strict bylaws. So what do I do? Do I go there and fuss at them, or say, no, the church isn't for me? What I'm saying is this. How silly would it be for me to sit there and fuss about the bylaws and the standards all the time? Wouldn't that be silly? If I sit there and tell that pastor, I don't know why you do this. I don't know why you do this. I don't know why you do this. I don't know why you require this. Eventually, that pastor should have enough wisdom to say, look, you're welcome to come here, but if you don't agree with me, there's other churches in this world. Amen. But don't expect me to change them. That's the purpose. That'd be wrong of me. I would be sitting there trying to alter that church. And look, even though that church believes the truth, what I'm saying is this, that every church varies in their bylaws. Here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, we have standards for you to become a member. And I'm not ashamed of that, amen. I believe in it 100%. And I believe that if somebody wants to become a member, it is essential for that man or that woman to come underneath the standards of that church. It's not my position to try to change that. Can somebody say amen? Which means I ain't planning on compromising anytime soon. And if I do compromise, you, hopefully I'll have enough sense to leave. Amen. But why is that? Because we have identification. We'll talk about that more in a moment. So notice this. All the Scripture does not... I want you to get this in your mind. This is important for us to understand as a church. All the Scripture does not contain an explicit command to formally join a local church. You're not going to find... You won't find in the early church a set of bylaws for us to go by. There are some basic things doctrinally we go by. But there's other things we realize that generationally there are creeds that the church should accept. Because every generation is different. Amen. Do you know there's things we face today that the early church didn't face? How would it look in the early church if they begin to put something in the bylaws about the internet? They'd have said, what are you talking about? They begin to talk about you can't go here, you can't go there. And half the places that we're talking about, they would have never known about. Each generation is facing new challenges. Do you know that? So look, what I am saying is this. Even though we don't believe in compromise, we do understand that generationally creeds must be forged to help reach that generation. Once again, not compromise. But we have to understand, you know, in the 1940s, the 1920s, the 1930s, it was about drinking and gambling and other little, I mean, not little things, but other things like that that were major of that day. But notice this, nowadays, they didn't have to deal with methamphetamines on the streets, did they? They had to deal with crack cocaine or heroin or barbiturates and all these things. They didn't have to deal with the internet. We do. So what I'm saying is this. We do have to forge. We do have to modify. We do have to amend. Not to compromise, but to understand, look, that this generation is a different generation than we served 30 or 40 years ago. And how many knows what I'm talking about? There's certain times I try to talk to even... The generation gap is amazing. Even from me to those that are just 10 years younger than me. You know, I know it's a big generation gap from like me to Brother Glenn. I mean, there's several years that separate us. And we are united by God's Word. I know that. But you know, I'm talking to people that are 10 years younger than me sometimes. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, you ain't heard that? Never heard of it. You ain't sitting up, no, I just hadn't crossed my mind yet. Amen. And phones and all these things. What I'm saying, we're living in an age of change. So we don't change. No, we don't do that. We don't change the compromise. But we do understand that our mission statement is to reach the lost. And God help us in wisdom and understanding to have a biblical basis that we can help others see clearly that God is calling us to a high standard, yes, but also to have love and a burden to reach out so we can be the church that God wants us to be. Amen. Understand this. We're going to cover a few things today. The example of the early church. In the early church, coming to Christ was coming to church. I'll say that again. In the early church, when you came to Christ, you could not divorce that from coming to church. If you came to Christ, you're going to be a part of a church. Amen. You read about that early church and how the idea of experiencing salvation without belonging to the local church was foreign in the New Testament. When individuals repented and believed in Christ, they were baptized, and the book of Acts mentioned it time and time again, and they were added to the church. Amen. They were added to the church. Now, when I look at this, it is amazing because there's a great emphasis all throughout the New Testament. They were added to the church more than simply living out a private commitment to Christ. This meant joining together formally with other believers in a local assembly and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayer. They believed in becoming a part of that church. I'll never understand people to say they're a part of this church and never show up to anything for this church. Come on. There's no way you can defend it, or I can defend it, and we shouldn't try. Oh, they're a part of us, really. They're really a part of us. I appreciate everybody in this church. I do. But I'm telling you once again and well that there are things and events in this church. That doesn't mean you can make everything all the time. God knows that. I know that. But there should be this underlying current of faithfulness. Look, I am a part of that church. That is my church. I'm a part of that body. And look, we come together in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayer. And we do this that we can grow together. And brothers and sisters, we need a renewed commitment to the church. Not to Derek Jones, not to Glenn Jones, but to the Abundant Life Tabernacle of Jesus Christ, that we have a fresh commitment, a fresh desire, that we be the church that God wants us to be. Amen. But in the age of individual mindsets, well, I just go here and I go now, then I go when I can, and that's not even the truth, because if you go when you can, you'll be here a lot more. I mean, that's the truth. Brother Irvin used to say, if we acted half as bad off as we say we were, or God allowed us to feel the effects of what we say, man, he said, we'd be in pretty bad shape. Oh, there's some people. Oh, they can shop till they drop. And they act like they can't move around a building in church. Come on. You ask them to participate and it's, oh, really? Man, they do everything else but participate. You know, when I was in school, in order to pass physical education, it said participation required. Which means if you didn't dress out, you didn't kick the soccer ball, you didn't throw the football, even when you didn't like it, you got a big zero. Hey, what if God gave us report cards? He will in your prayer life. He'll highlight some things to you. A plus! I got an F in this. I got an A plus in reading, Mom and Daddy. Oh, but I got an F in worship. Come on. I got an A plus in living a holy life. But boy, you got an F in evangelism. Come on. You can't pet one subject. You can't endorse one subject and not endorse the other. You've got to endorse it all. And that's what brings balance to a church. We come to a church here today, and guess what? We all would have different grades on different things. I know there's probably some A-plus students in here, and thank God for you. But I'll tell you this. There's areas of improvement in your life that you can become a better member of this church. And before you think you're the teacher's pet or God's pet, begin to pray and say, God, really search me. Let me understand my ways. Show me what I can do more. Show me how I can be a better neighbor to the person beside me on the pew. How I can give to this more. How I can participate better in this. Now, we look through all throughout the New Testament. For time's sake, let's move forward. The epistles of the New Testament were written to churches. Except for a few letters that was written to leaders. Like Titus and Timothy and Philemon there. You know, and it was a personal letter. But the rest of them were written to churches. It wasn't written to a certain person. Say, look, I just want you to sit in your room and read this and don't worry about going to church. He said, no, I'm writing this. I'm addressing the situation in that church. Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, He's walking among His church, and I'm glad I'm a part of the church of Jesus Christ. We understand that in the book of Acts, much of the terminology fits only the concept of a formal church membership. Phrases such as the whole congregation. Man, we're talking about just one of them. Even though they were in house churches, they were congregations of men, women, and children. You find this in 8 and 1. The church in Jerusalem. Amen. You hear the phrases of church here? And you go on. The disciples in Jerusalem. In every church in chapter 14. The whole church in chapter 15. The elders of the church in chapter 20. This all suggests that church membership was well defined and had a great existence and had great boundaries in the day that the original church existed. They believed in you being a part of something. Once again, there's no blueprint in the Bible that's going to tell us what exactly, every detail about every church. You know, I came from a church that didn't do membership the way this church does membership. They called it a platform standard and leadership standards. And what they meant by that is, look, we believe if you're saved, you can come be with us. That's fine. Worship. Praise God. We'll give you all the information. But if you're going to have a leadership role, you're going to participate in the worship and leadership roles on the platform, you've got to come underneath our standards. It was called our platform standard is what a lot of independent holiness churches called them. You may have never heard that before, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is this. Whatever phrase you use for it, we know this. That church should have an identity about it. We should know who it is. We should know who they are. So we looked all throughout the book of Acts. There are these terms here. And we also know the existence of church government is in the New Testament. The consistent pattern throughout the New Testament is that of elders, of those who oversee each local body of believers, the specific duties given to these elders presuppose and clearly define a group of church members who are under their care. They would not be called pastors unless they were pastoring someone. Make sense? Shepherds have to have a flock in order to be a shepherd. If you're a shepherd without sheep, you're a retired shepherd. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, all you would leave. I guess I'm a pastor of the empty church. Because the church isn't made up of pews. Come on now. Derek ain't the pastor of these pews. He ain't the pastor of this building. And you're not a member of the pews. And you're not a member of this building. But we are members of that special supernatural body of Christ that we as individuals see truth in Scripture that we identify with. And we expect those who want to become members of that to identify with. Hear me today, brothers and sisters. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Now we look at this, we know there's elders, and there's so many things we could talk about. What it is to be a part of a church and what a church is. The elders of the church are not responsible for the spiritual well-being. The preacher and the pastor of the church is not responsible for the spiritual well-being of every individual who just visits this church. You understand that? There's sometimes people who visit a church. I do believe you ought to call them, talk to them, encourage them. But if they don't come underneath any authority, it's hard to pastor that bunch. Come on. I could probably do this. I've never thought of doing it. But I could write down on a piece of paper those who I really feel like I pastor. What I mean by that is those who I feel like have subjected themselves to God's authority. Not me. Not my opinions. Not my personality. None of that. But you can tell who you really feel like you're pastoring. Because there's some I could talk to that could really care less what I had to say. It's the truth. Oh, that young punk. Or that young man. You might say it properly. Oh, that pride. And there's other people that you can tell. They say, you know what? I know you're younger than me, and I'm not expecting you to come under. Follow what I'm saying. I can tell those who subject themselves to God's ministry. They're those who I feel comfortable speaking into their lives. Because I feel in my spirit they have subjected themselves to that. There's some people that could care less what you have to say. But there's certain people you know you feel comfortable speaking into their lives. And then there's some that just come to church that you don't know where they are. They're not going to tell you where they are. They're going to miss a service without telling you. They don't feel any obligation to that church at all. And you know what? They're those that I cannot pastor. It's the truth. And I wish everybody understood this, because once again, when you're a pastor preaching about a pastor, it makes you feel a little uncomfortable up here. Can you feel like, look, what I'm telling you is this, there is biblical order. I believe, and I'm not saying, and look, what I'm saying is this, it has to be a work of a heart. I can't twist your arm, nobody can twist your arm into being subjected to this church and the authority of this church. But I will tell you this, I'm here because God led me here. I didn't get up one day and say, man, Hampton, Virginia, here I come. People say, why are you there? I'm here because God wants me here. If something happened today, I mean this. If something happened today where you couldn't pay me a pastor's salary, I would be content working a job and shepherding this church. Because I know God has led me here. Now, I can't break away from that. And look, I want people to understand all the time, I'm not here because I want to be here. And I may not be here because you want me here, but I'm here because God wants me here. And that says a lot in the halls of heaven. Amen. And there is a certain pastoral anointing that you feel. And you feel liberty in certain areas. And you want to feel liberty in all areas. But that's where we come together as a body and say, Lord, whatever you want, I want. Amen. You know what I've had to do since I've been here? I've had to say, God, whatever you want, I want. You know there's things that the Lord's had to deal with me on since I've been here? Do you know I've preached in some very strict churches? Now, I know that we have standards that are considered strict. But I'll tell you, I've been in some churches where they think some of you are dying and not going to make it to heaven. They don't make them right. But what I'm saying is there's mentalities that I've had to have the Holy Ghost to help me walk through over the years. And I realize that there's mentalities that God has helped me overcome. That when I stand here today, I look at you and I love you. And there's not one doubt in my mind. Those of you that have subjected yourself to this church and are faithful to this church, I look at you and I don't doubt your salvation. I don't doubt your experience. I don't doubt your love for me. And I hope you don't doubt my love for you. But God's working on Derek Jones. And I hope God's working on you. That this beautiful unity of the Spirit is formed. That's what the local church is. It's that church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's that church that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation. It's that church that's going to be raptured out of here. It's that church that will see miracles. It's that church that will see demons cast out. That's the church I want us to be. And the Holy Ghost has to help all of us. Because how many knows the church is a living organism? And churches die. Within this last few years, I've heard of two instances of men my age who's had to resign their churches. And you pray, and some of the stuff they face, I thank God I don't face here. Thank God for that. But also, I also understand this, that the unity of the Spirit is that precious, that if I'm not praying and you're not praying, that God is wanting us to be this certain organism. He's wanting us to be this church. And through the unction of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to say that again, through the unction of the Holy Ghost, who is the life of the church, I can't operate without Him, and don't you try to operate without Him. We need Him to have a local church. We need that Holy Ghost working in you and me to perform that which He sees fit in this generation. I've prayed and asked God over the years because, like I said, there's mentalities I've been delivered from. There's convictions I still hold precious to me that I still believe. That if somebody would sit down and talk to me, I'd say, look, this is where I see it in Scripture. Would you pray about it? But I don't think you're going to hell about it. There's things that we all should pray about because we're living in a generation that is in trouble. We're living in a generation that is not... I wish it was this easy. Everybody would walk to the doors. I'd throw them a church manual and they would say, praise the Lord, I love it. It'd be great, wouldn't it? You know, I have met people that just bite it hook, line, and sinker, read it, and the Holy Ghost does something in their heart and it's amazing. But in this generation, and you've maybe asked God this question before. I said, Lord, we are a hole in this church. That's not going to change. But how can we reach out to the millennials of our age? You know what I mean? And I know the easy answer is, look, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. They need to get filled. I know that. But how can I, how with God's help, how can we be what we need to be to reach out to them? Not compromise, but reach out to them and be what God wants us to be. God help us! You know what? I wish I could just open this book right now and give you one verse that would give you the answer. But I have wept and cried and wept, and I'm not exaggerating, and cried about people who you want them to get it. Amen. You want it to go off in their mind like a light bulb. And you're asking God, am I doing everything I can do as a pastor to awaken hearts to the reality? Do I make holiness attractive? Come on. I've met people that made holiness look horrible. They have a hole in their holiness. They have a hole in their holiness. I mean, you've got the liberal folks out at Walmart smiling and passing out gift baskets. And you got some of those in the Independent Holiness Church. I mean, they're mad and looking all the time. And we wonder why they're joining that charismatic church. I'll tell you why it is. Because they may not have everything we have. They may, but you know what? They have a good way of displaying something. I thought to myself, God help us to reveal the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Not to be grumpy, so to speak. Not to be that average grumpy holiness church. To be a church that is contagious by the love and the gifts and the unity of the Spirit. God help us be that. Amen. I don't want to be that church where somebody walks through and say, oh, it's one of them. I've been to a few churches. I mean, as the Grinch would say, he's as cuddly as a cactus. As charming as an eel. I've been in a few churches like that. But there's been other churches. There's some, the Blythe family I often use as an example. Some of you don't know them. I'm trying to get them here. They get booked up for like 2 or 3 years. And I know the church will be edified by them. They write a lot of their own songs. I mean, you know what they say? The reason they set the bar so high in their life, I mean, they are some holiness folk. But man, they make holiness look good. When I get around the blind, I start saying to myself, man, you know, I want to be better. Amen. I just feel it's almost like there's a vortex to it. I mean, you get around them. The Holy Ghost just takes that unction on their life, takes them standards, takes that holiness, and just makes it so attractive and appealing to us and to everybody. Don't you want to be around? Don't you want to be a church like that? That they recognize your joy. They recognize your peace. They recognize your happiness, and you look. They look at you and say, man, how are you so happy? You can say, number one, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And since I've served Him, He's redeemed me. And through redeeming me, He's gave me wisdom in His book that if I act this way, dress this way, do that, that I can preserve myself and maintain this joy. My brothers and sisters, we need to be a contagious church because that's the church the world is going to want to join. Paul didn't have an issue so much in his day. He was preaching to a pagan world, and they were added to the church daily. He can't go into an area, a town or a city. He'd hop up on a rock without a PA system and church pews and cars and heating and air and all the food. He'd hop up on a rock before you left. He's planted a church and seen demons cast out, half the city healed. Something about it that was real. Brothers and sisters, our fellowship is to be attractive. Come on. I don't want to have a hole in my holiness. I want God to reveal it to me. Sometimes you can have the right verse, but the wrong spirit. Come on. I told him the truth, bless God. What's the truth? I told him the truth. Did you do it in the right spirit? Come on. Who was it that looked to Jesus And he said, shall we call down thunder from heaven? You remember that? And I think they're referring to the Old Testament about Elijah or Elisha. My mind don't serve me right now. Lord, you know, that's why they called them the sons of thunder, maybe. I think it was the two brothers. Lord, shall we call down thunder from heaven? Right verse, wrong spirit. Come on. Right verse, wrong spirit. Look, I know you've got some Old Testament scriptures you can point to there, young men. But hear me. That's not the spirit we're going to go by. No, what I want, I'd rather see them saved before I kill them. Man, there's some churches that kill them before they try to save them. You know, I think there's a song, I catch them, God cleans them. You got it all wrong. God can catch them and He can clean them. You ain't got to shove a hook in their mouth to clean them. Kill half the fish you catch. How many knows the dead fish is easier to clean them than a live fish? Ain't flopping as much. Oh, but when God does the work, it's amazing. Amen. God can work mighty things. God help us to be that church. We look at this today. It is amazing to be a part of the local church. Living out the commitment to a local church involves many responsibilities. Guess what? I am responsible today to this church. That's the way this works. Amen. Now I realize my responsibilities are different if I pastor 300 than when I pastor 60. How many knows there's a difference? Usually you get too big, you need other preachers to help you out. But I feel, you know what? This is, how many knows even it's the way it's supposed to be in our country? You know, we elect a president. We're responsible to the president. The president is responsible to who? Us. Welcome to the great U.S. of A republic. That's what that is. But you know, the church also, the place that they got some of that advice from was also from the Scripture. Because we know this, just in the Old Testament, the king was responsible to the people, but the people were also responsible to the who? King. We go in the New Testament again. We have leadership in a church. We have pastoral ministry in a church. And once again, the same thing as this. I'm responsible to you. We're responsible. You're responsible. When I say me and the leadership, we're responsible to each other. That keeps everybody happy. That means you agree on everything but this. We know this. We agree on the doctrines of God's Word. And that's what we are going to promote. Amen. I'm done here tonight. There's more things we could talk about. But I want to be a part of that local church, don't you? I appreciate all that God sends this way. And it's my desire that we edify one another. We stimulate one another. But I want to be a contagious church. Amen. I don't want to be that church when somebody walks through this door, they don't feel the love of Christ. I know people do feel the love of Christ. But I'm trusting God to help us here tonight. Amen. As my wife goes to the piano tonight. And we're about to do, in just a moment here, we're going to do Brother Adams' church membership. I have my order of service under here, so let me get that out. Amen. I'll mess this thing all up if I ain't careful. I try to take some time to get some things organized to where tonight we can make this a special time. I do encourage if anybody is curious about joining the church, come see me or somebody else. Express that interest. And we would love to explain what we believe and why we believe it. But today, as we go to this and begin to talk about this membership here tonight, I want you to understand that membership in a local church involves commitment to worship. It involves commitment to worship the Lord corporately, together, edifying brothers and sisters through mutual exhortation and service, cooperating in the mission of this church. This church has a mission. It's important that we cooperate in it. Holding each other accountable to walk in the manner pleasing to the Lord as a witness to the church of Christ in this world. That's why it's important to be a part of a church. Amen. We believe that covenant church membership is a wise and a helpful path for everybody that would join. We believe it is wise and is also helpful. Because what do? We desire to walk together in obedience to the Lord and in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've now been in ministry with Brother Adam now for, how long has it been? 9 years. Well, we've been raised together, I would say that. And I've seen Brother Adam grow in the Lord. I've also witnessed some of his struggles, but I've also witnessed his honesty. I've witnessed his repentance over the years. And I've witnessed his growth. And you can tell when somebody's really saved. Amen? Doesn't mean that every preference is going to be same. He may not, you know, how many knows Brother Adam likes to cut up a little bit? Ask Brother Adam. I'll tell you that. And I'm glad he's that way. Man, we've laughed over the years. We've been in youth camp over the years. But I appreciate God sending him here. You know, honest to God, you can ask him. When he felt like the Lord was dealing with him. I've only been here a short season before the Lord began to deal with him. And I said, when the timing is right, brother, and we've talked. And he said, when the timing's right, he said, I feel like the Lord would like me to come over there, be a part of that body. I said, when the timing's right. And we talked, and who knows, almost 2.5 years later, God allowed him to come this way. Amen. We appreciate him being here. Brother Adam, if you would, could you come stand before the church here today? And I'm